we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Audio up there. A little delay on that. There we
all
go.
Right.
Welcome world, welcome world. Talking sports with Swamp Man. The boy, Andre P.
What's happening,
Robert
people?
Ford off the world, yeah. Welcome, guys. Another great episode. Today is Wednesday, August the 24th. 2011, and as always, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We've got a dynamic show for you guys tonight. Always look forward to your comments and requests. You got the number for those that don't? It is 424-243-9515 for those that want to call in and chime in. And also, Robert, I'll
9519, make that correction.
9519. Thank you, sir. Actually, I didn't read my notes right. We're also on Facebook, Rob. Is that the case as well?
Oh, yeah. Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Like us on Facebook.
So, that's right. And we'll get started. It's always fun. So I guess just to kind of talk about things that we're going to do today is we're going to talk about kind of a recap of week two in the preseason as we start counting down the NFL. We're going to talk about some impact rookie safeties, which is going to be very challenging because – there was not a lot of safeties drafted in this year's draft. I mean, at least
none
not
in the first round this year.
Yeah, see, that's pretty ironic. If we have enough time, we still try to do this. We're going to talk about division predictions, and we can try to squeeze in some college football with some ACC and SEC predictions a little later on. So we'll see how everything plays out.
I'll tell you, there's a lot happening in the SEC. A lot of guys getting in trouble with LSU and Ole Miss, but I guess we can get to that a little later in the show.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring up anything with Tim Bob or anything like that at LSU, so I was going to try to spare you about that. But you brought it up, so, you know.
T-Bob is not in any trouble with LSU. For everyone out there listening, so Bobby Hebert doesn't get upset, T-Bob is in no trouble at LSU. Jordan Jefferson is the guy that's that looks like maybe the one that's in trouble. T-Bob has nothing to do with the incident.
All right. Well, let's kind of start with there because I think that's kind of a good topic. It's pretty relevant with what's going on right now. And as you being an LSU fan, Robert, do you think that LSU is better without Jordan Jefferson, or do you think that they definitely need Jordan Jefferson to have an impact this year?
Definitely need Jordan Jefferson. I know every LSU fan will not admit that, but we definitely need We definitely need Jordan Jefferson to have a chance of winning the SEC West, winning the SEC, or winning the national championship. That's just my opinion. He gives them the most versatility as far as throwing and running the football. And definitely with Jordan Jefferson and no chaos, I mean, I had LSU right there competing for the SEC championship. But with all that's happening right now, I would kind of have to put Alabama as the clear favorite of winning SEC West and as well as winning SEC championship and even competing for the national championship with possibly a team like Oklahoma, Oregon, Stanford, or even Florida State. You know, that's another sleeper team that I think may have a shot at competing for a national championship. So I know we're kind of jumping the gun with a little bit of college football predictions, but in my personal opinion, LSU definitely needs Jordan Jefferson and it's not looking so good right now. They have to turn to Jared Lee.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I heard they were splitting a lot of snaps in camp. So, yeah, I'm sure that's – I didn't know if that was something that, as you mentioned, LSU fans are kind of upset about that. But, you know, Jordan Jefferson, he's a junior now, so definitely
– senior, actually.
He's got to be
– oh,
he's a senior. Okay, I didn't realize he's a senior. Wow,
yeah.
Kind of flew by. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So he's a senior, so definitely he's got to – last year, so we'll see how everything plays out with him. All right, yeah, that was good. I had to, you know, that was kind of relevant right now, so I'll let you kind of talk about that. But let's see. Let's go ahead and talk about week 2 of the preseason in the NFL as we switch gears. I know we have a very unlikely alliance, being a Falcon fan and a Saint fan. And the second week of the season, I don't think both of us were too happy with our team play. You want to kind of expound upon that, or what do you think about the Saints' chances? Even though Mark Ingram is getting a lot of good love, he's kind of like the anti Reggie Bush, if you will. So, what's your take on the game, and kind of tell us why were you not happy with your team, if you will?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that the Saints need to improve on based on the game the other night against Houston. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, being a Saints fan, I could really only take 2 positives away from that game. Number one, the Saints showed a strong running game. Mark Ingram, Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles, they all looked to be running strong between the tackles. And they were able to run the ball pretty effectively, and they have been able to do so far in the preseason. So, I mean, that's a positive. The other positive is a guy by the name of Joseph Morgan. We call him Joe Morgan, just like the Hall of Fame baseball player. He's an undrafted rookie free agent out of Walsh College. Has anybody heard of Walsh College out there?
I don't even know
where it is. Walsh College. But this guy has been incredible in the preseason. He's a wide receiver / punt returner. He ran a punt back first preseason game against San Francisco for a touchdown. The guy's got blazing speed. And then he caught a bomb from Chase Daniels this past week against Houston, and did it against Houston's first team defense as well. And so, I mean, from this past week, those are the only 2 highlights I can take from the game. And it looked like this kid, Joe Morgan, I can't see him not making the Saints team. He's just been doing some incredible things in these first couple of weeks. But, you know, it was poor tackling. The defense did not play well this past week. You know, it was a lot of difference in facing Alex Smith in week 1 to Matt Schaub, and the Texans were able to move the ball at will on the Saints. So that was a little discouraging on my part. And the Saints were able to move the ball on Houston as well, but the Saints was killed by turnovers. Saints drove the ball down the 4-yard line. Drew Brees fumbles instead of throwing the ball away. And so they still have some things that they need to clean up and kind of work on, which probably most teams in the league do at this stage. But I will say I was impressed with Houston. And as a matter of fact, I am going to go ahead and say that they're my prediction to win the AFC South. Peyton Manning still hurt. Doesn't look like he's going to be back for the first game of the regular season. I was really impressed with Houston. Wade Phillips taking over the defense. I think it's going to have an impact on their defense, and it's going to improved them tremendously. I mean, they have the weapons. Matt Schaub, I'm impressed with him. If he can stay healthy, I mean, they have 2 running backs, Arian Foster and Ben Tate, that can move the chains. Owen Daniels, tight end, and Andre Johnson. I mean, he's definitely, if not the best, one of the top 3 wide receivers in the game. And I think this is their breakthrough year. I think this is the year they get to the playoffs. And not just get to the playoffs, I see them winning the AFC South this year.
Wow, that's a big thing, because as you know, Houston, they keep having these promises of making a move, and they just haven't had to. They haven't, you know, obviously eclipsed that level that they've been at. So definitely, it's kind of make or break for them. I kind of agree with you. I'm not quite sure they're gonna upset Indianapolis just yet, but we'll see how everything plays out. Now, granted, we can talk about Peyton Manning being out too, but that's some pretty high praise from Robert Ford about the status of the Houston Texans. Now, real quick, I mean, like I said, as you mentioned, we were the week before, you were telling me that you can't really put a grade on the Saints until they played a better team as the Houston Texans. So, you know, obviously, your prediction came true as far as, you know, getting a grade on your team, but as a Falcons fan, I gotta say, I really can't. I'm not hoping to see any more explosive wide receivers for the Saints, you know. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out with Drew Brees and stuff like that. Switching gears, if I can talk about my team here, you know, obviously we're big as well, because, you know, obviously everyone keeps hearing about Julio Jones, the poster boy, if you will, and how explosive the offense is. You know, now granted, you know, I don't even remember, we scored, what, 15 points, something crazy like that. I got to look up the score, but it was kind of discouraging to see. We're supposed to have this explosive offense, and yet still we kind of struggled. Now, we did have the opportunity to scrimmage Jacksonville early on, early on in the week. So I'm pretty sure Jacksonville figured out ways to kind of stop us during the game because I heard during the reports that we were kind of running through them, and then to see the performance during the actual game is a totally different thing. So, you know, that's kind of discouraging for us. And kind of the same thing, I think our secondary still isn't right to where we needed to be. Kind of similar to you, Robert, we're kind of like a mirror image of each other. Our safety play after our starters is definitely something to be left to be desired because those guys, I don't know, it's just that's something else we got to look at. And then also with our cornerbacks, you know, we got good starters, but then Dominique Franks from Oklahoma is in a battle with Christopher Owens, the guy that got torched during the Green Bay game last year. I don't know. I'm not sold on those guys. I definitely think Franks has some more talent, but you know, we'll have to see what happens during the cutdowns if we're going to make a move at the secondary position. So that's from a Falcon fan, obviously. Definitely love to get feedback from both and maybe even from your team as well. Don't forget calling the show. Numbers 424-243-9519. Hope I got that correct this time, Robert.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much it for that. Let's go ahead. I don't know what you want to talk about. You can talk about Peyton's injury. Is that he's not going to hit the streak? And also the Giants have been hit with a lot of injuries, unfortunately.
Really hard. And the Giants have got hit really hard with season-ending injuries. You know, I know there are a lot of teams with a lot of nicks and bruises, players with nicks and bruises, maybe out 1-2 weeks here and there. But the Giants, unfortunately, have been getting hit with season-ending injuries. It seems like they've had about 4 or 5 guys that are just already lost for the season. They look very impressive on Monday night with whipping the Bears, both sides of the ball. And they look like a team that, in my opinion, that should be right there with the Eagles, maybe a notch below the Eagles. In the NFC East, but based on their play, I know it's preseason. You really shouldn't put a whole lot into it. But I know the Eagles haven't quite gelled yet, but I still think with their personnel, they're probably winning that division, and Giants may be about right there. And getting to Peyton Manning, as I said just here a few minutes ago, this injury is very concerning. The Colts signed Kerry Collins today because they don't think Peyton Manning is going to be ready. And, you know, there's a possibility he could miss even 2 to 3 games. And their first game of the season is actually against the Houston Texans.
Oh.
And I really believe with no Peyton Manning, Houston is going to win that division. And I think they get out to an early lead in that division. And they hold on to it for the rest of the season, and
wow.
I think they just look like a team that's just gonna a healthy Peyton Manning in full 16 games. I might have a different opinion, but based on what I'm hearing with this injury with Peyton Manning, and he's just not ready to go yet. And and then once he does come back, you know, I know he's a veteran, he's been there. But he still has to get the reps and snaps to get that groove back, you know, with his receivers. And so I just think it's going to be a setback for the Colts this year, unfortunately. And I can even see, you know, 8-8, 9-7 kind of year out of the Colts, which is kind of unusual in a Peyton Manning era from them. But I can kind of see that kind of a season for them this year. And the only other team I would mention so far in the preseason, I would have to say the New England Patriots are looking like the best team. I mean, they've had 2 games, and both of them were blowout victories. And they look like they have a lot of depth at the running back position. No big names, but they just have a lot of guys that can really come in and play. And Tom Brady's playing well. I think Chad Ochocinco had a touchdown. And you can say what you want. I mean, I'm a big Sean Payton fan with the Saints, but I still would have to say Bill Belichick is probably still the best coach in the business.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a team right now they are my prediction to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. I know I'm giving away a lot of my predictions already here, but they are my prediction to win the AFC and get to the Super Bowl. So I would say so far, based on what I've seen, they are the most impressive team that I've seen so far in the preseason. Pittsburgh looked really strong against the Eagles, and I could see them still winning the AFC North, but I still think New England will be the team to beat in the AFC.
Gotcha. Yeah, good stuff, and I definitely agree with you on that. It seems like the rich get richer. You know, obviously adding Chad Ochocinco, and, I don't know what's going to happen with Haynesworth, but, you know, Bill Belichick, if he can whip anyone into shape, you know, we'll see what happens with Big Albert. Another guy that I can I have to, like, kind of maybe a sleeper for some people out there, what do you think about the way Colt McCoy's been playing for Cleveland? Man, Cleveland Browns getting some props on the show. Have you had a chance to watch any of the games?
Yeah, I would say that's a good point. I've Colt McCoy is looking really good, and I think he's in the right system now, and I think that's the key. With Mike Holmgren hiring a true West Coast offense head coach, and I think Colt McCoy, his skill set is more designed for that West Coast offense. He's got some good mobility. He doesn't have a super strong arm, but he's accurate with the football. He's got good placement with the ball. And, I think he's a guy that can excel in that system. And I think he's going to be a really solid NFL quarterback. At first there were some question marks, but I think they may have a steal. I know he worked with Brett Favre in the offseason. We got to mention Brett Favre on the show, huh? But I know he worked with Brett Favre offseason. Brett Favre, of course, played in the West Coast offense, gave him some pointers and learning the terminology and things like that. So I think he's going to have a really breakout season, and the Browns, I think, will be a sleeper team, most definitely. I can see them battling for possible second, third place. I still think they might be an outside looking in when it comes to the playoffs, though.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. I just thought that was a good point because, the Browns are definitely making the right moves. And, Holmgren is looking like a genius once again, so we'll see how he does and if he can develop other quarterbacks. And one last thing I got to mention as I jump back to Peyton Manning, and the only reason why I mention this is due to fantasy football, and I got to give a quick shout-out to one of my guys, Mr. Mark Robinson, who always drafts Peyton Manning. So we'll see if he sits on Peyton Manning or what's going to happen with that. So we'll see how everything goes. That's his guy. He always drafts Peyton Manning, I think, for the past almost, what, 7 years.
He's going to draft Peyton Manning first, and then he's going to draft every Falcons that's worded it been picked after that, and then he'll start drafting other players.
There you go. That's my nemesis, being a Falcon fan. I got it. He'll draft him like two rounds ahead of time, but all is well. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, good stuff, and I like how we're going with that. Like I said, just good stuff preseason. Looking forward to some stuff coming up. Obviously, the third preseason game, and you get a chance to most of your starters play a lot of minutes. So, as you mentioned earlier, Ray Edwards is going to have a chance to start for the Falcons. Finally see the impact he's going to make for our defense, and hopefully that'll make our defensive backs look a little bit better, in that fray. So, anyway, that's some good stuff. You have anything else to say? You want to go ahead and move forward to rookie safeties, or I'll let you make a last point, if you will, about any other teams out there for the preseason or even upcoming, if you will.
Yeah, I think we could. I'll just make a quick point about, your Falcons, but even as much as I hate to say it, but, having Ray Edwards and John Abraham on the ends, I mean, you could probably get some good pass rush without having to blitz a lot, too. And you definitely want to have a strong offensive line when you're playing, especially on the edge with those pass rushers. A lot of teams would love the opportunity to be able to have a pass rush without having to blitz. So I think that was a very solid addition with getting Ray Edwards opposite John Abraham. So we're going to have to definitely be ready.
Time will tell. Like I said, it's like playing chess matches within the NFC itself. So we'll see how that plays out, most definitely. good stuff. Good stuff. I like it. Stuff, comments from a Saints fan. I don't know if that's good stuff. I'm definitely going to have to replay this episode. real quick, let's jump into the rookie safeties. And as I started the show, it's tough because there wasn't a safety drafted in the first round. So we're going to have to really, like, grasp for straws and say who's going to make an impact this year. So as we were talking before in the pregame, the earliest safety drafted, who was that? Was that Raheem Moore, if you will?
Raheem Moore,
UCLA?
Yeah. Free safety out of UCLA. He's about 6 feet, 202. He went to Denver and got drafted by the Broncos, and a very good athlete. And I think, you know, Denver did have some secondary issues last year other than Champ Bailey. And they have John Fox there, new defensive coordinator there, Dennis Allen. Actually, they hired him from the Saints. He was the secondary coach for the Saints, and now he's a defensive coordinator there in Denver. And so I think Jaquan, the guy that was drafted out of Temple, who was going to the Eagles. A lot of people think he may be a little bit undersized, but I think the Eagles are really high on him as well. Those are two safeties that went in the second round and were the two highest rated safeties. And I think another thing about Jaquan is Jaquan Jarrett is actually a good special teams player too. So I think he could definitely help the Eagles out in that department, even if he doesn't start. But I do think Moore is a guy that will start right away. And I know the Cowboys are also high on Moore. They were hoping to get him just slightly later. The Cowboys took Bruce Carter slightly before him, and I think they were hoping they could get back in and try to acquire Moore, but Denver went ahead and took him. But I think he's the one safety that will start as a rookie, and we'll just have to kind of see what kind of impact he has. I mean, he's got good cover skills, good range, and he even comes up and makes some tackles in the running game. So I think, you know, Denver definitely needed some help in that secondary. And they really, the only guy they had that graded out fairly well last year was Champ Bailey, even at his age.
Yeah, Champ Bailey, and then obviously you got Mr. Brian Dawkins still there. So hopefully we'll see how everything plays out with that.
I would be shocked if he's getting close to that, you know, retirement, or possibly even getting cut as a cap casualty, but we'll kind of have to play that by ear as well.
Yeah, interesting. The only guy that I was curious about was Ahmad Black from Florida, 5'10", 184 pounds, as mentioned, coming from Florida. I guess the thing that you had problems with him was that, and I guess he's listed as a strong safety, which is very surprising, being 5'10", if you will. I mean, the only guy that's even close to that is like a Bob Sanders, and we're not saying that Ahmad Black is Bob Sanders by any means, but, you know, somebody that size, I mean, you know, he didn't have the size that, you know, most of the NFL guys covet, you know, so I guess, you know, he's going to be going against a lot of physical guys, and 5'10", definitely that's a concern, which is why he was drafted in the fifth round by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but, you know, I don't know, maybe they see something we don't see, but, you know, I kind of liked him coming from Florida, definitely, if you will.
Yeah, he would have to be Bob Sanders-like to get in the starting lineup. But I think a fifth-round draft pick, I think what you're kind of looking for right there, you're hoping that he can come in and contribute on special teams in the coverage units. And so he's got the athletic ability and, you know, solid tackler. I think that's what the kind of player, they're hoping he can at least be a backup safety, you know, put him in there in a pinch. But I think you're really hoping that he can be a solid special teams player for you. And I think that's what Tampa Bay is possibly banking on, to see if he can come in and help him in the special teams department.
Good deal. All right, yeah, like I said, we apologize, folks. I mean, as mentioned, there's not like a lot of safety talk to discuss. I mean, and it's tough because I don't think there's like a Troy Polamalu or Ed Reed or anybody like that in this draft. So, you know, hopefully next year we'll have some better players at this juncture. But right now it's just kind of a tough
definitely
thing.
No,
so,
Hall of Fame safeties in this class.
we still may be too early to say that, but you definitely never know. But I can probably agree with you, Rob, too. But you know, we'll see how that plays out. Most definitely. Wow. All right. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left. As mentioned, guys, the number to the show, if you want to call in and get any type of feedback or comments, is 424-243-9519. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook. We'll post topics as well. That's facebook.com/talkingsportsforthe12th man, if you will. We haven't had a chance to talk about this the past, I want to say, 7 weeks, but now we can finally dive into some division predictions. And, Rob, I know you kind of like gave us a little sample talking about the Houston Texans taking that AFC South. I guess talk about some surprise teams that you think can definitely make an impact. We'll hold off on the NFC South because that's always interesting as well. But kind of get your feedback.
Yeah, that should be real interesting with the Falcons and the Saints being on the show. We'll start with
battling,
the AFC.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
We'll start with the
AFC.
I know I've kind of already mentioned that I like the Texans in the South. I like the Steelers in the North. I like the Patriots in the East. The West is one that I've kind of been torn, and it's you're torn between the Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chargers is a team, in my opinion, that's kind of underachieved a lot the last couple of years. And the Chiefs is a team that I kind of felt like overachieved a little bit last year. And but the more I really look at the Chiefs roster, I think they've really made some nice additions with Steve Breeson and Jonathan Baldwin, even though he may be out a couple of weeks with an injury teamed in the fight. I still like the Chiefs in that division. I mean, I really was leaning toward the Chargers in that division. And but the more I really kind of looked at the rosters of the two teams, I think the Chiefs have a lot more. They have a lot more young defensive talent. And if you add the weapons on offense now, Jamal Charles, Thomas Jones, Dwayne Bowe, Jonathan Baldwin, Stevie Breeson, and even though I think the Chargers have the better quarterback in Phillip Rivers, I just think the Chiefs has more weapons and they have a stronger defense. So I'm going to stick with the Chiefs in the West. We're winning that division again. So I'm going to go Chiefs, Texans, Steelers, and Patriots as being the division winners. I already mentioned I like the Patriots to win in the AFC to go to the Super Bowl. And I'm going to give you a little bonus with my wild card predictions. Wild card predictions in the AFC. I'm going to go with the New York Jets.
Wow.
And I'm going to go with the San Diego Chargers. Those are my two wild card predictions. A lot of people made... hopefully no Ravens fans out there that's thinking I'm crazy for not picking them as a wild card, but I'm going to go Chargers and Jets. So I'll get your feedback on your AFC predictions.
Wow. You know what? Like I said, we're definitely the same as far as Steelers, Patriots. Texans, I'm not 100% sold on them just yet. I mean, I hope they can overcome that. I'm still thinking, the Colts may somehow, even though Peyton's kind of hurt, I still think that they have more veterans on the team. Even though the offensive line is not that good, we'll see how that plays out. That's a lot of pressure for the Texans, but, 1-2 definitely. I'm kind of leaning Chiefs as well just because, unfortunately, Todd Haley has definitely amassed a pretty good staff. We hope that losing Charlie Weiss didn't hurt him as much as we're thinking, but that's definitely the thing. Jets, I'm challenged on that, and I know we got like about 66 about a minute left on the show, but I'm kind of torn because Ravens, you can never count them out with that defense, but I'm still kind of on the fence. Jets, I don't know, Rob. I have to come back on that one, definitely. I'm still not sure about that. Maybe the Chargers may underachieve even more. If not, obviously, your boy Norv Turner's job is definitely where it should be in jeopardy. But that's it, folks. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show. As always, we thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Sports with the 12th Man, Robert Ford, Andre Peterson here. Any last minute thoughts you want to jump in or throw in there, Robert, as we wrap up the show?
Well, one last thought here. We're coming up to week 3 of the preseason. This is when your starters are going to play longer. And so it should be a real interesting week. And look forward to talking about week three on next Wednesday night.
That is correct. All right, guys, once again, for Rob Ford, Mondra Peterson, see you guys next week, next Wednesday, talking sports for the 12th man. Thank you, guys, as always. We are officially off.
Good night, people.
Good night, people. Good job, Rob, as always, man. It's always a
So we're officially off. No calls can come in right now, right?
No calls. But, you know, Marcia's listening in. She can still hear us, but it's all good. Hold on. Oh, really? Okay. Didn't go through the link? Okay. That's okay. Different link? Okay. Marcia's getting feedback.
Oh,
she's giving some live feedback.
Oh, you wasn't able to hear through my link?
It was hard to... That link that you sent, it didn't
charge the link? Okay. We'll figure that out. Okay. That's okay. I mean, but whenever you go to the Facebook, I wonder if you post through it and actually click through that. But we'll figure it out for... like I said, I think... These are definitely a good moment to get the juices flowing and as we get a little bit more stuff like that. Okay. She's actually showing me the link, Rob. This is hilarious. Let's see here. The page can be found. Okay. You get to click the bottom one?
Yeah. You might want to see that. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess whenever they click on that, they have to click on the bottom link to actually listen in as far as the top one. Yeah. I mean, it's funny too, Rob, because I can get some live listens and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I haven't had anyone, like I said, for the crazy cowboy caller called me in. that's pretty funny. I should try listening to some of his shows too, because that was hilarious. The cowboy guy that called in. That's still like one of the top episodes. Like, oh my gosh, what's going on with this? But yeah, good job as always, man.
Sounded great.
Marcia said it sounded great. You always do a good job of answering my crazy questions off the cuff, so I appreciate that. Rob plays it off. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? He goes right into it. Is that okay? Are you okay with me asking those questions and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, no problem. We
okay.
kind of go right. with the flow.
Okay.
Yeah, I know we don't
sure,
always
don't...
stick to the script, but you know, we don't have to always stick to the script. If things come up, we talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, you know, obviously, it's funny because we have to kill about 30 minutes of time, and it goes by pretty fast, surprisingly. And
really fast.
If we get callers, I'm sure it'll go by just as fast. But you know, we're just talking, having a good time, and you know, a lot of times I'll think of stuff on the fly, like, you know, there's so much stuff to pack in, and so you can't really go over every little topic that's out there. But, you know, whatever's relevant, whatever's going on, we'll try to stick to that. And then I'll try to add my two cents or whatever, too. So I appreciate you listening and letting me kind of, like, vibe on stuff.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, you know, we've pretty much covered all these college rookies. So I don't think we want to talk about punters and kickers unless you want to. I don't think that'll get people excited about calling in. Huh?
Yeah, I don't think so either. I was joking. Yeah, I said I got a punter. I don't want you guys to know about. I'm just joking. Yeah.
Did the Falcons draft any safeties?
Actually, we did not draft any safeties.
Oh, okay. So yeah, we didn't.
Yeah, keep this for the show.
Yeah.
No, Marcia's the keeper for the show. No, it's fine. We got our manager right here. Someone to keep it on the keep it for the show.
Oh, no, keep it on the show.
No, she's listening. She's in the room as I'm doing this. No, but I think it's good because there's more than enough topics to discuss. I mean, we can, as we've proven over the past couple of weeks, we can talk our heads off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more or less just, you know, as we kind of go in and out because.
Like,
there's been certain things that we have to, like, you know, obviously clean up on, and I got to be a little more clear whenever I'm enunciating certain things. But you know, other than that, you know, I think I do a good job with driving.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
That was great.
All right. Well, next week or
next
1 week,
week
I'm gonna have Robert drive. I'm gonna have Robert drive.
No. I mean, I like the way it's set up.
Okay. T Rob is gonna drive. Oh man, that was funny. All the surnames, I got that. I was like, oh, look at him. I was cracking up.
Thibodeau.
T Rob.
Boudreaux.
Thibodeau. Yeah. you know, we got to talk about next week, too, is very surprising. The rise and fall of Tim Tebow. We could talk about that as far as how he's dropped to number three. And I think it has something to do with, we could talk about this, too, as far as not having that extra OTAs and stuff like that, because he is a developmental project. I mean, I don't think he's definitely should be out the league, but if he would have had some extra time to go through that, he could have been, not a starter by any means, but he could definitely be a little further along in his development, I think.
And part of it is the coach that drafted him is fired, so he might have had a vision for him that the new regime does not have for him. And so I think that has a lot to play in it too. But yeah, that's definitely something we can talk about. You know, we got the recap of week three, Tim Tebow. I mean, we covered the AFC. Now next week we can talk about the NFC predictions. And then maybe we can get to the college football too.
Yeah, college football, we're starting up pretty soon. So, definitely we'll have we can start about talking about that because that's kicking off next week. And then maybe we can kind of jump into some fantasy football stuff if you want. So, some stuff and some league stuff too. So, this is also, we'll kind of play around with that. But, that's what I got. I started college football. Very exciting, obviously. So maybe we'll definitely get early into that. So, good stuff.
Sounds good.
All right,
sir,
man. As always, it's been a pleasure and an honor, doing the show with you. Like I said,
same
next
here.
Week, all is well.
All right.
And maybe we'll get some callers in. Like I said, always, 1,300 friends. Now we gotta have somebody call in eventually. So we'll make it work.
Did you post it on your page?
I did.
Oh, okay, good.
I got like a lot
sure
of likes.
We'll
yeah, it's fine. I got like a lot
I'm
of
sure
likes.
We'll get. I'm sure we'll get a. I'm sure eventually, we might, we probably have people listening that just didn't call.
Yeah, that's
so
probably the case.
We'll never know that.
Yeah, that's true indeed.
Yeah.
All right, good deal, sir. Until next week, I'm sure we'll definitely talk about the week, in general stuff too. But have a good one as always.
All right, Doc. Take care, man.
All right, you too.
Later.
All right. Bye.